The West Live.
The West Live
with Ben O'Shea.
And now, despite much of Australia being in lockdown and authorities clamouring to shut down the growing outbreak, we're still so much better off here than anywhere else in the world, which is why Aussies stranded overseas are desperate to return home. More than 1,200 Australians have been stranded in Indonesia. Some of them have finally been flown home. Joining me now from the Indonesia Institute is its president, Ross Taylor. Good morning, Ross.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Ben.
And so, how many Aussies have been repatriated on this Mercy flight?
On this particular flight, Ben, there is just under 200, about 189 people are now in Darwin. So that still leaves something like around about 1,000 Australians, and I might emphasise 1,000 Australians who have registered that they would like to come back to Australia, as opposed to how many Australians still remain in Indonesia, which is a lot higher, of course.
Yeah, right. Any idea of how many Aussies are in Indonesia?
DFAT don't release that information, Ben, but I would say at this stage it's very complex because there are long-term residents there. We would estimate there would still be probably around about 5,000, but we really don't know. As an example, Ben, a lot of your listeners would probably know, just beside Bali, there's the island of Lombok, which has three famous islands called the Gili Islands, which Aussies really love. There's several Australians there that actually own resorts on those little islands. They are completely COVID-free. And those Australians are saying to me, what's the problem? So you can see, Ben, you know, the range of and complexities of issues facing Bali and all of Indonesia with Australians is very, you know, all over the place, quite frankly.
Yeah. And so we've been in this pandemic now for more than 18 months. So why all of a sudden are these 1,200 Aussies trying to get back to Australia?
I think a couple of things, Ben. The most obvious one, which people won't be surprised to hear, of course, is that Bali really managed the whole COVID issue quite well right from the inception. It's obviously been the economic impact that's devastated the island. But just recently, of course, the Delta strain, here we go again, has got into Bali, probably brought across from visiting domestic tourism from East Java. And it has really ravaged Bali up to sometimes 800 cases per day compared to this time last year of 50. So you can see what's happened to Bali. But I think what the major impact of that, Ben, has been Bali had, you may recall, pre-planned to reopen to international tourism right now in August of this year, which should be the first people back. And everyone had really worked along that basis. And despite COVID, there was really quite a good level of optimism. And I think with the Delta coming through, the impact of it, and then seeing that tourism basically gone out the window now, and leaving Balinese with really no idea when tourism will return. I think we've just seen a really major mood shift, and it's affected the Australians too, who just think, look, really, I wonder if it's time to head home.
And so are the people who are leaving, do you think, are they people who had been long-term residents who finally thought, you know what, that's it, we're pulling up stumps and heading back to Australia? Or is it also business owners who, as you say, are now facing with this sort of loss of hope because of Delta and thinking, you know, we just can't lose any more money, it's time to, you know, just give it up?
Yes, it's a good question, Ben. It's a mixture of both. There have been a number of, on board that flight, were a number of residents that have been there for many, many years. There are business owners that basically have just seen their business lost completely. And also remembering, too, Australians, Ben, who have invested into properties and villas quite extensively right up the coastline there to as far north as Chengdu. You know, they've seen the value of their properties probably go down 60-70%. Well, quite frankly, no one knows what the value is anymore because no one's buying them. So I think it's a financial impact, and it's also the issue that they just really can't see a way forward in the future. And I must say, you know, given the fact that West Australia send 400,000 of us every year to Bali, I think the Premier's statement last week, which Bali has picked up on, saying that, quite frankly, effectively, until Bali is COVID zero, West Australians won't going back. And I think a lot of Balinese sort of now are starting to realise that it could be 4, 5, 6, 7 years perhaps before West Australians are even allowed to go back to Bali. So when you put all that into the mix, as I said earlier, the mood has really changed from you know, a degree of optimism to one of quite concerned and a much darker outlook, unfortunately.
Yeah, and we're hearing stories of some of those Australians coming back of the heartbreak of leaving behind local staff who they might have worked with in their businesses, who they've grown very close to. Is that do you think, like quite a common experience?
Yes, it is, and you know, obviously our institute, we obviously have an Australian director who lives in Bali, Liam Hayes, and he's, this is where it's strange, he's, you know, he's going along, he's got no intention of leaving, nor of his many colleagues, but then we have other staff up there who we support, you know, web designers and the like, and their reports back to us from their parents are quite devastating, with people dying. And really, you know, things like being like children's orphanages that have really relied for years and years on tourism dollars to try and help some very, very good orphanages. There's some bad ones up there, but very good ones. They're being devastated. They have no funding. They're worried about what's going to happen to these children. So, and unfortunately, there's just really no answers, Ben.
Mm. And even though it's a kind of an awkward thing to talk about when you're dealing with a pandemic and people losing their lives, but there might be some people who think, you know, who, as you say, their properties in Kangoo, which is a pretty fashionable place, have dropped in value. There might be some people who are thinking, oh, now's a good time to pick up a business or a property or a, you know, a villa or something like that. Do you think there's an element of that happening as well?
Oh, no, our director up there, Liam, is actually a business broker. So there are those people, you know, who play the contrarian game, who are just saying, look, there's an exceptional value there right now. But certainly my experience has been just recently that has tended to drop off as the outlook for Bali changes from one of, look, you know, there is a way forward here. And as I said, Bali really much is probably not too different to where New South Wales are at. And all of Indonesia is just working on a plan where eventually, with the high vaccination rate, which is good, you know, they're approaching, it won't be long, they'll be at 70%, where they hope that what they can just simply live with COVID, and they'll continue with fairly high levels of COVID, but that what they're looking for, of course, same here, is very low death rates and diminishing hospitalisation. So that's where the politics come in, because what they now see, of course, with Western Australia, even if they achieve that, it's unlikely Western Australians will be allowed to go back. So where that leaves people in terms of investing and their businesses, quite frankly, no one knows, Ben.
Yeah, right. So it seems like they're certainly not striving towards a, you know, sort of a zero COVID case situation, and instead, like other places in the world, vaccinating as much as possible and then just doing their best to live with it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think the concept of zero COVID for Bali, if that's our policy, I would say it will be years before we would get back there. Forever. It won't happen. You know, that's something that has to be addressed. But as I said, in the meantime, I think the immediate problem we have got now is, as I've indicated earlier, Ben, is that just within the Bali, if West Australians could really see what's happening there within the villages and the poorer people who've now, and the workers who've worked in tourism have now go back home, it's really starting to bite hard now, and people are really suffering. A lot of West Australians then don't know that the West Australian government under Mark McGowan has just last week announced a $2 million aid package to Indonesia. And I have to say, I'm watching that very carefully to see whether some of that money finds its way to Bali. I hate to tell you, I've got a horrible feeling it may not. But I just think that given the link between West Australians and Bali, our community, I believe, would like to see, you know, a fair proportion of that money being directed to help the people in Bali who are just, as I said, being absolutely devastated at the moment, because we do have that, I think, throughout the world, this is the link between West Australians and Balinese, I think, is quite remarkable.
Well, if it doesn't go to Bali, where would the money end up?
Well, we don't know, Ben, because when the Premier made the announcement, I was quite surprised. I thought that he would have given that to his Deputy Premier, Roger Cook, who is also the State Trade Minister and Development Minister and Asian Engagement Minister, to manage. But for some reason, he put it in the hands of the Office of Multicultural Interests, who who actually have no understanding or connections with Indonesia at all. So that's with them at the moment, and they are sort of floundering around trying to work out what to do with the money, and our institute's been involved in saying, look, here's some suggestions. It's very, very vague at the moment, and, you know, this is $2 million of West Australian taxpayers' money. And, you know, I've been quite firm with them saying my expectation, you know, like I'm Mr. Indonesia. I want to help all of Indonesia, but I'm saying that I think West Australians would expect that a portion of that money would be directed to Bali, given the long-standing relationship. And I've just got a horrible feeling that in the confusion of all this, it possibly may not happen. I hope I'm wrong, Ben.
Well, I hope you're wrong too, because certainly the Balinese desperately need it. Indonesian Institute President Ross Taylor, as always, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate it here at The West Live.
Always a pleasure, Ben.